Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, conversations with people at the leading edge. I'm Paula. Corporations now are so powerful that they threaten both democracy and capitalism itself, says our guest, Robert A.G. Monks. He is a true capitalist insider. He's one of the world's foremost shareholder activists and author of Corpocracy. What's that? It's corporations and their interests taking over the political system, Mr. Monk says. He's put his wide experience in both business and politics to work challenging corpocracy and makes it plain that the antidotes are already in place. For starters, he says each of us must realize the United States government is so dominated by CEOs and business roundtable companies that they have replaced we the people in our most fundamental decisions as citizens. When we will kill and risk being killed.
I have three draft age grandchildren. And if we had a draft, and if our involvement in Iraq required a political consensus adequate to support a draft, would I be doing the same things I'm doing today about Iraq? I would not. I would be lying down on Pennsylvania Avenue, kicking and screaming. And I'm not doing any of that. Well, my diminished citizenship, of which I'm ashamed, probably is representative of other people. And in effect, this is one more thing that we've corporatized. We've corporatized the use of violence. It used to be you could only use violence when you got political consent to do it.
Robert A.G. Monks is a shareholder activist and a very successful lawyer and businessman. Mr. Monks has founded a number of investment funds and asset management companies. He started Institutional Shareholder Services, True Cost, an environmental research company, and The Corporate Library. He's served on the boards of a dozen publicly held companies, headed Boston Trust, and held several influential government positions in the Reagan administration. In addition to Corpocracy, Mr. Monks is the author of several other books as well. The biography written about Mr. Monks is called A Traitor to His Class. Bill Russell and I first sought out Mr. Monks in the 1990s, drawn by his work as a shareholder activist, and we brought him to you then. When we learned about Corpocracy, we were eager to again bring you what we knew would be an important conversation. Robert A.G. Monks, I had the privilege recently to be in the company of one of the people who is appropriately given credit for being a mastermind of strategy within the great Citizens' Revolution, the Civil Rights Movement. And as I was reading your Corpocracy, which is a very, very important book, I was thinking about what Bernard Lafayette told me, the Reverend Dr. Bernard Lafayette. He said, Paula, if you're going to do something that changes a large nation and addresses a really important fundamental problem, you have to start by getting the data. I sensed that that was a great part of what you were doing with Corpocracy, with your lawyer hat on, that you were giving me the data so that we could move in a very positive direction to reclaim democracy from its, what you call, evil twin, Corpocracy. Is that in the range?
What I was trying to do is to identify the current language with which we discuss issues of corporate power and political power in America today, and to try very carefully to suggest ways in which a legal vocabulary, an economic vocabulary, an ethical vocabulary are not really satisfactory in and of themselves to explain where we are. And you have to begin to try and see what actually is happening. And so out of this emerge sort of notions of the large corporation as a participant in political society. Well, that turns out to be the place you really have to begin, because for something over 100 years the Supreme Court has said that corporations are persons, and in the last 30
the Supreme Court didn't say it.
The Supreme Court, you're right. they continue to ratify the notes of the recorder of the opinion in 1886.
A former railroad lobbyist.
Yes, a former railroad lobbyist indeed, and apparently made some money out of it.
Big time.
I'm shocked.
But in recent times, in particularly the Bellotti case and the Buckley case, the applicability of the legal vocabulary is quite pervasive, because it ends up providing us with a society that has constitutionally guaranteed free speech rights in corporations. So there's no legal way really to restrict their involvement in our political life. This is the kind of example of, this is the getting the data. You have to know who the players are. You have to understand that everybody isn't in a nice, neat box, and that perhaps the informing language for a discussion of this kind is power. And a corporation is splendidly designed to permit the acquisition of wealth. And the way in which it does that is through the focus of power. And the existence in our society of artificial people with the kind of power that the largest corporations have quite clearly has fundamentally changed the polity. And I don't think that this is generally understood. So this is gathering the data.
The other part of the data piece, and you refer to it, I think you even cite Orwell, is the language piece. One of the real challenges in politics in general in this country, certainly now, but probably always, but certainly today, is that words have been, the meaning of words have been changed. Good becomes bad, red becomes green, red becomes an apple. And that language piece is very important in the in a variety of different ways. At the core of that, well, there's several, but I want to start where you start, which is the notion of economics and the economy.
Orwell would be George Orwell, be with us through much of the next hour. We are talking specifically with Robert H. E. Monks, who has done a great service with his book, Corpocracy. Be with us when we come back in just a moment.